The story is, a couple months ago, I was feeling like poop. I was feeling pretty down in the dark dumps of things. I had some physical stuff going on. I had some strange heart issues and stuff like that. Don't worry, so far, everything's fine. But also, actually, I shouldn't say also. I think as a consequence of that, maybe I started to look at what I was doing and where I was going. And I didn't like the picture that I got. I didn't like the picture that I got because I didn't see anything. Sometimes when you don't have clarity, you know, it's not that you don't have a future that you're moving towards, but you don't see it because it's not clear. So sometimes not being able to see what direction you're going is kind of the same thing as not having a direction to go in. And I wasn't seeing where I was going. I didn't understand where I was going. And, you know, it makes you discouraged about what you're doing. But then that discouragement also, it whips back around. And it whips back around into your identity. And then you start feeling discouraged about who you are. You don't know where you're going. You don't know who you are. You don't know what purpose you serve in the universe. What am I doing? Am I just a waste of flesh? And like I said, it came from a lack of clarity. Now, I'm lucky enough to have gone through these cycles many times in my life. And usually what happens is I start picking up little pieces and the little pieces collect. And then I start to build a picture from these pieces. And then once I have a picture and I can see where I'm going, I know, okay, I need to shift. I need to steer this way. I need to steer that way. And then I can see where I'm going. And then now all of a sudden I get revitalized because, hey, I know where I'm going. As you can imagine, you imagine getting in the car and driving and not knowing where you're going. Even that would feel pretty discouraging. I'm driving. I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm in a car and I'm moving. Whereas, you know, if you're going somewhere you really want to go, you're going for an amazing hike, you're going to see some landmark that you've wanted to see, you're going on a road trip to see somebody you've wanted to see for a long time, you know where you're going so you can look forward to that. And I think so much of how we feel about ourselves comes from a sense of being able to look forward into an imagined future. So what I did this time after I kind of pieced together, I think this is what I'm doing. I think this is where I'm going. I think this is where I need to steer to, is I sent a poll out to everybody that's subscribed to the Read or Die a Slave newsletter, which is not all of you. You know, some of you just listen as audio and video, which is part of the reason I'm doing this. But for those of you who received the newsletter, this is going to give a little more context. Like, for example, in the newsletter, I didn't talk about feeling discouraged. So I think this is important so that everybody knows what's going on, but I also think it's important to bring this into more of a conversational view because, as I said, I was in a pretty low place, and now I'm feeling pretty good. I feel like I, even just a few minutes ago, the reason I decided to do this video is I got another piece, and I'm like, oh, that's the other piece that I was missing. So the poll I sent out was three questions. I just said the same thing twice. It was one question with three answers. The question was, how do you prefer to consume my posts? Or to say it better, how would you prefer to receive Read or Die Slave? And the three options were in writing, in audio, video, or it's a tough choice. And pretty much what I got back was a confirmation of how I was feeling about the direction. I don't want to say that we were headed, but just where we were already. And I don't mean just I felt that way based on what answer had the most votes. I mean the way that the votes were distributed between those three answers really confirmed what I was feeling inside. Which made me feel good. Okay. Apparently I do kind of know what I'm doing. So 56% of you said you would prefer to receive read or die a slave in writing. 11% of you said in audio video. 33% of you said it's a tough choice. That's exactly how I've been feeling. As I said, the reason writing has been on my mind is because I started to feel that these ideas that I'm pulling from books, that I'm not really even pulling from books, they're shooting out of the page at me. You know, I'm reading a book and I go, oh, you know, it's almost like a something in your solar plexus you feel when you read something that hits for you. Sharing those with you, I didn't feel like this was serving it. I didn't feel like it was giving the best representation of those ideas. What I mean by that is I like doing the audio and the video. You know, I like audio podcasts. In fact, almost every time after I finish one of these and I release it, I listen to it on Spotify. Not because I'm obsessed with the sound of my own voice, but I really want to experience what a listener experiences when they get it. And I prefer to check that out in audio. Because when I watch the videos, if I were to watch the video again, you know, I have to watch it to do the precursory edit. But if I watch it again once it's live, I start noticing things like, oh, there's a dog hair on my shirt. Oh, and there's a lint on the microphone. Your face is ugly. Things like this that just kind of get in the way. Whereas with writing, I really feel like the ideas, the importance of the ideas is to give the ideas to you. You know, they're not my ideas, so there's no vanity involved in that. I'm running across this idea. Oh, you know, like I said, it's hit me in the solar plexus. It's there's something of value in there. Chances are some of you are also going to get value from that as well. Asking you to watch a video, which usually ends up being, you know, if the last one was the shortest we ever did, I think it was 12 minutes. But sometimes, you know, we go as much as an hour. Asking you to sit down and watch a video or even listen to a podcast to get that one idea, it wasn't economically sound. And I don't mean money, I mean like economy of time. Whereas if I could find a way to write, which I know how to do, I don't know why I haven't been doing it, but write in a concise way and send that out in the newsletter so that you get this idea, you can read it while you're on the toilet in the morning or while you're in line at Starbucks or while you're walking down the aisle in Target or while you're bored on the couch. But the point being that you get the idea and you can absorb it and then maybe use it. It seems like the format that's best for you to get that. And I think that's why I'm looking at the screen, you can't see it, but I'm looking at the chart. This represents how I was feeling is because 56% of me was, yeah, that's the way to do it. 11% of me was, but I love audio and video. And then 33% of me was like, but do I love audio and video as much as I love writing, which I've dedicated my whole life to? Oh, it's a tough choice. And I think part of that tough choice for me was I assumed the reason I originally started doing video and not just audio is because, you know, everybody in the world right now is telling you the future is video, everything is video. I assumed that I was doing what was best for you as the audience by providing video. Because I assumed that's the way people prefer to consume now. But you know what they say about making assumptions. So, all that said, let me click over here. I made a list so that I won't meander too far. Here's the way I'm looking at Read or Die a Slave as we go forward. First and foremost, number one, my number one priority is me. Sounds crazy, right? What I mean by that is I need to preserve my state of mind. I need to preserve my fascination. I need to preserve my interest. And being online all the time, editing video all the time, doing all of these things where I'm in front of this computer, rushing towards something is not conducive to me being in the right mindset to write well. It's not conducive for me to read well. It's not conducive for the ideas to sink in and mean something enough for me to actually say something that matters. It's not conducive to all my other creative interests and pursuits, and it's not conducive to my soul and my spirit. So I can't do that. So the first way that I can deal with that is to remove the artificial sense of urgency in, oh, we're going to do this every week, or this is, you know, like a lot of people are really into this idea of like, my video comes out every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. That's not going to be, that's never going to be me. My newsletters aren't going to come out on the same day at the same time. They're not even going to come out on the same day. They're not even going to come out at the same increments. This is the way things are going to work. I'm going to do what I need to do to be the best that I can be for me and for what I create. And in turn, hopefully for you. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm actually introducing more content in a way, but I'm using the content as sort of buckets. You know, if the things, I talked about this before, I think it was two videos ago, we talked about byproducts. If byproducts are kind of what's dripping off of us when we're doing other things, then a bucket would be the thing that catches the byproducts. And the reason that's important is because you can continue to do the thing that creates byproduct. It also creates energy and all these other things too, but it creates those things. You can continue to do those things and the buckets will collect them and then you can do something useful with it. And I sat down and I actually went through this process. I don't want to go too in depth with this. Maybe we can talk about this sometime in the future, but it would be something I'll explain where I would do that. But I sat down and I asked myself, what are things that I'm doing every day, no matter what? You know, what are the things that I'm doing, both that are good and bad? You know, like, what are the things that just seem to happen no matter how much I try to tell myself I want to do this and I'm going to do this? What are the things that happen? What are the things that don't happen? And of those things that happen, no matter what, what are the values of those activities? First of all, what are the values of those activities for me? And then what are the possible values of those activities for other people? The byproduct. Of those things that could possibly be valuable to other people, what way can I convey those things? And what way can I convey those things in a way that doesn't get in the way of the initial process that produces them? Okay, very abstract. Let's use an example to make this a little easier to explain, because even as I'm saying that, I'm thinking some of those words are pretty similar. It may sound a little like I'm talking in circles. One activity, this is one activity I chose to do nothing with, but one activity that I happen to do, right now I'm not doing it because I'm resisting it, but generally a lot of times in my life, I'm playing games on my phone. Not excessively, although sometimes I do go down that path and get addicted and play for far too much. But, you know, maybe a half hour, an hour a day, I might unwind. I might put on a television show in the evening and play a game on my phone at the same time. This is something that happens whether I'm not planning for it to happen. It just happens. It's just an activity that I do. So what I said was, what's the value in that? Well, the value in that is, well, number one, it can be relaxing for me. Can't be. The second thing is, could it possibly be valuable to other people? Sure. People make whole careers on talking about games they've played. So telling people about games you play, what you think of them, stuff like that, that has value for other people. So the byproduct could be my thoughts on the games that I play. And to craft that into something presentable, it could be, you know, it could be X profile that just talks about games on my phone. It could be a YouTube channel where I record videos. It could be a podcast where I talk about the games. It could be a blog. It could be a newsletter. You see all these possible ways that I could convey this thing that's already happening no matter what. And the benefit of that would be when I sit down to play games, I never have to feel guilty about it, like I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. And then instead, I get something from this. Get something for me, and I move forward in my life in some way from this thing. Now, I chose not to do this because I don't play games that much. I don't want to play games more, which I think I would need to a little bit. And I just, it's not my culture in the sense that I'm not really a gamer. That's why, you know, I play games on my phone, because I play some of the tower defense and these kind of mindless games that occupy a part of my brain while I watch TV. So I don't really know that I have a lot of thoughts about the games, because maybe I tend towards inane ones. So that's one of the reasons I didn't choose that activity. But I wanted to use it as an example of how that process could be of benefit. So with Read or Die a Slave, the buckets that I'm creating, first of all, I'm reading books. Initially, when I started doing this, I was thinking I would do a video or a podcast every time I finished a book. And then I realized I didn't like that because it felt like I was doing book reports. So that's why we stopped doing that. I think that we did that really extensive one on The Creative Act by Rick Rubin, which actually is my most popular episode, which is cool because it's like 3 hours long. But once I did that, I realized, oh, this will be my life. And I don't mean it'll be part of my life. I mean, it would be my life in the sense that the shorter episodes, sometimes I would have to rush to finish a book in a week in order to be able to do that. Then I would have to prep to do that. So I'm always moving towards that. We got to get there. We got to get there. We got to get there. And then while I'm doing that, in the back of my mind, I needed to be reading another book more extensively to be able to do that longer episode once a month. And that would just be all of my life. And as much as I love books, I love reading books. I don't love writing book reports. So that's kind of the reason we moved away from that and moved more into the ideas. I realized, I'm like, well, I can take smaller chunks and deal with that. And we've kind of been hovering between that and then just kind of hovering between me talking about process and mindset a lot recently. Which actually I should tackle that right now. I said that if I talked about something else, I can't remember what we were talking about earlier, but I said if I did that, I would do that somewhere else. And we would talk about that later. This is that point. Anything about my process, my creativity, any of that stuff, I've taken the dispatches from Creative Isolation, which was the original name for this Substack. And I took that and I moved that over to Beehive, which is just another newsletter service. I didn't need to. I did it just because I wanted to see, learn the differences between Substack and Beehive, because they're kind of competitors, kind of cool to play with both. They have differences. They both have pros and cons. That doesn't do any audio or video. That's just strictly newsletter and web version of the post. I'm treating that like an old school personal blog. Like, back in the 90s and early 2000s, when people would just kind of pour their heart out into LiveJournal, that's kind of what I'm doing with that. Although for me, that usually, I don't really like to gripe a lot about, you know, my personal stuff, like the fact that I've had a little bit of health problems here or there. Like, I don't like to share that kind of stuff. I don't even share that to people in real life. It's just, I'm not that kind of person. So my personal blog thing tends to be about my mindset and about creativity and about process and about workflows and things like that. So that exists over there. Once I pulled that away, I had this opportunity where I'm looking at Read or Die a Slave and go, oh, this is just about books. You know, when those two things were together, I could get it kind of confused. But now I look and I'm like, what's left? Oh, books. And that's what started me to think about the buckets. Well, what buckets do I have relating books that will make Read or Die a Slave valuable so that people want to read it, so that people want to check it out, and hopefully so that people want to support it so that I could make this actually my life, but in a healthy way as opposed to the way that I was trying to do it before. So like I said, I'm reading a lot of books, but I'm not reading you know, sometimes I'm reading longer books. I'm not reading that in a week. Sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes I knock out three books real quick because they're short books. So the first bucket I have, I think, is a curated list of the last 10 books I read. Now, this being different than the review, because the review would be me, like I said, doing a book report. Here's the main ideas of, I'm not going to do that. But instead, the way I see the book list posts is they're not going to come out at a regular schedule. They're going to come out when I read 10 books. Okay, I have only 7 books. Well, I got to read 3 more books. Then the post comes out. Doesn't matter if that takes me a week, which no way, I'm not going to read 10 books in a week. Or if it takes me 2.5 months, that's when it's going to come out. I wrote a post actually on the Beehive, the Dispatches from Creative Isolation, about this idea of a deficit of delight, that we don't delight and surprise anybody anymore. Everything's about this metered schedule. The purpose of doing this as well is to find a way to delight so that something shows up in the inbox and go, oh, hey, I didn't know that was coming. So when I finish 10 books, I'm going to list the 10 books. I'm going to give a short, concise, and hopefully well-written reason, my thought on the book, my thought on each book. And then that's going to go out. And another type of bucket thing like that. Now, this isn't necessarily about books, but I'm watching YouTube videos. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm watching movies. I'm not going to share every YouTube video I watch. I'm not going to share every movie I watch. I'm not going to share every podcast I listen to. But there are some of them, I think I described this in a post recently, maybe in the first AV department post, which is what I'm calling this, the AV department. I described it as the ones that stick with me long after I watch or listen to them. For an example, there was a podcast in the first post, the last one I sent out, about David Perel talking to Chris Dixon about writing. I listened to that, and it's been probably 7 days since I listened to that episode. It's still spinning around in my head. So these AV department ones on the video, podcasts, and movies are just going to list the last 10 of those things that stuck with me, that are swimming around in my head, the ones that I think are valuable, the ones that I think that if you click on it, there's a chance it's going to be valuable to you, because it's not just, it's curated. It's actually purposefully curated by my own interest in it. So that's going to be called AV Dep or AV Department. Those are going to come out when I have 10 things. So that could be in a week. Or that could be 2 months. It depends on how much stuff I'm listening to and watching and how good they are. And I said this in the last post. I know that for sure. I said, my hope is that every one of you will open those posts and find at least one thing that you want to click. That's my hope. First, I got to get 100% of you guys to open the emails. That's what everybody says, because, yeah, industry standards and like 51% open rate. Kind of baffled by that. Okay. Third thing. Make sure I'm holding up 3 fingers when I say that. Third thing is going back to what I was talking about, that sharp, concise writing and the ideas. Giving you the ideas that I'm encountering in books that I'm finding value in, similar to what I said about the videos. Presenting them to you in my goal here is, and I'm not always going to achieve it. I just did the first post. Was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday. Was not 4 paragraphs, but my aim is 4 paragraphs. And where I'm getting this from is the Chris Dixon episode that I just mentioned with David Perel, How I Write. He talked about his blog over the years, which was very successful for him. And he's into crypto and all of these, he works for Andreessen Horowitz and all of this, but most of the things he got came from notoriety he received from writing his blog. And he said that one thing he noticed was the sweet spot for his blog was 4 paragraphs. And that kind of, another thing hit me in the solar plexus, because I realized Of course, all of a sudden it made sense. It's like, yeah, you want to be able to get it in good. You have to, first of all, you have to, in order to do something in about four paragraphs, you have to write really well. Your ideas have to be very clear. But people want to be able to read it and get it quickly. The more you put in there, the more opportunity people have to get lost, right? And if you're just trying to present one idea, you don't want people to get lost. You want to keep them to that one idea. And it's such a gold. So there's something exciting about it because it's like a challenge. Can I do it? You know, the post that I sent out the other day, I did three versions of that. I'm notorious for sending things out on the first draft. I did three versions of that. And every time I did it, I cut more and I cut more because I did it 3 days apart. So I'd come back and I'd start reading it. And it was a different mindset than I've had before, where it's like, oh, that makes, you know, this is part of that. That's why I would leave things in. This is part of that. Instead, what I was saying, do they need to know that? No, they don't need to know that. Do they need to know that? No, they don't need to know that. Because sometimes we as writers, we create these introductory sentences. Well, as a consequence of that, I found myself the other day, nobody needs to know that. Get to the idea. So that was what was exciting to me about this, is the challenge of being able to do it in four paragraphs. And those posts are going to come out when they're ready. So in other words, if I'm reading a book and I read a post, I mean, I read a quote and it's this idea and it hits me and I put the idea down and then I find myself later expanding that, I find myself writing the piece and then I look and I'm like, ah, this is pretty much ready to go. Let's do a little tweak here and there, cut this sentence, cut that, boom, send it out to you guys. And if that happens to me again the next day, or it happens to me again in 3 days, I'm going to send it then too. If I'm in an idea deficit and like a month goes by and I don't have another one to share, then that's the way it's going to be. But you'll still probably be receiving one of the other type of posts in that meantime, because the delight is going to be, you don't know what's going to show up. You don't know when, but the consistency of it is there's always going to be something coming because I'm always working towards something because my buckets are always there collecting. And the activities that I'm doing are things that I'm not going to stop doing because I can't even stop myself from doing these things. But I mentioned earlier, there was a final piece that actually made me want to turn on this video today. My original intention, like if you would have asked me about this yesterday, I would have said, we're just going to stick with writing, which I have to admit there was something freeing about that, not having to deal with editing. But it hit me today that, number one, there are people who only listen and who only watch the video. People who didn't even take part in that poll. So their votes aren't even counted in here. In addition to that, go back again. I enjoy doing this. I don't enjoy doing it every week and rushing towards it, but I do enjoy doing it. So here's the final piece. It's actually two pieces, but it's the same idea. Just minorly different. We're still going to do videos, but the videos are probably only going to be approximately once a month. And I say approximately because they are dependent upon when I finish a book. And in this way, we're going to kind of do a book report, even though I said I hate it. But what we're going to do is we're going to deal with stuff like this, these kind of books here. For those of you who aren't listening, I'm holding up a stack of like six or seven paper books that I own, of most of them very popular books in the areas of self-improvement, self-betterment, productivity, one book on kind of personal finance. I like reading these books. Why? Because I don't think my life runs perfectly. So I'm always looking for something like, hey, anybody got any tips on how to be a little bit better? And I think all of you are like that too. You know how I know that? Because these books, most of them are bestsellers. And I know a lot of people like to dismiss these books, these type of books as well. They're bestsellers. And, you know, first of all, they dismiss them because they're bestsellers. And then, you know, they're not very academic. Yeah, they're not academic. You know why? Because they're not written for academics. They're written for the rest of us who feel like there's more for them and they can do better. And I need this kind of content in my life. None of them is going to change my life, but I need this kind of thought process coming in. So it's healthy for me to tell myself I need to continually be reading these type of books. And I, like I said, how many are here? Seven? These are seven that I just randomly grabbed off the shelf that qualify. And these will probably be the first seven books that we do, to be honest. I'm going to just do these books, and it's going to be the monthly book club. And it's basically focused around bettering, the idea of bettering, the idea of competence, the idea of improving. Because I think there's a ton of value. I avoided cursing there. I don't know why. There's just a boatload of value there. Doesn't mean that everything in here is valuable. Doesn't mean that sometimes these type of books aren't repetitive, that keep showing the same idea over and over again and reiterating it. But to pull out just some of the main points that hit me and share them with you is a healthy process for me, number one, to read the book. It's also a healthy process for me to be forced to articulate it in this sense. You know, like I said, the book report thing sucks at times because I don't want to force myself to articulate and intellectualize everything that I read. But these type of things, I think I need to articulate, at least articulate the main points, the main value for me. So every time I finish one of these books, I'm going to record an episode. We're going to put it out as video and audio. Those will come out, as I said, when one of them are done. But I also said there was two ideas and that they were kind of similar. I'm also going to do episodes exactly the way I described, except about fiction books. It's going to be kind of like a fiction book club. And that will happen every time I finish a fiction book, and that's just going to be available to paid supporters on Substack. I don't want to hide content from people, but I feel like the people supporting the Substack, they need some kind of reward for that, some kind of thank you for that. So I want to do that with the fiction books. And obviously the fiction books won't be about the main point. It's just going to be like, hey, what did I think about this book? How did I feel about this fiction book? Because I also think it's super valuable for me to continually be reading fiction. And then lastly, a couple things that maybe people thought were dead, but were really just in hibernation. Digital Disaster, which was a podcast I was doing kind of about dealing with technology, the way I was using technology and so forth. I'm going to transition that away from audio and into video. And I'm actually going to do videos every once in a while about just kind of stuff, apps I'm using and how I'm using them. Maybe I'll do a video about how I shake the camera when I bump my leg on the table. That's going to be very infrequent, as are these other two projects. It's just going to be whenever I feel like it. Maybe it's going to be twice a year. Maybe it's going to be more. I don't know. They're not on the top of my list, but they're things that I still enjoy doing, and I'm going to do them when I enjoy doing them. The other two being my old YouTube channels, which I've kind of revived recently by doing a video for each of them. First, we have Rediscovering Analog, which where I just kind of talk about my process of learning how to do analog Zettelkasten. And then I have Curly's Curated, which is my EDC channel, which is probably my most successful thing. And I wasn't doing enough gear, and I felt like I couldn't do it if I wasn't doing it regularly. That's a false assumption. I'm just going to do that when I have a piece of gear to talk about. I don't know how often that's going to be, but they're still alive. They still exist. This is where we're going forward. I feel really good about it. I feel happy that I have a place to do my personal blogging, and it's not invading my other stuff. I feel great about the fact that Read or Die a Slave is focused on books more, and that it actually has more of a structure, but it doesn't have the pressure of deadlines, that I've set it up in a way that I will be consistently posting and sharing things, but I don't feel like I need to rush to complete something. Everything completes in its own way. But at the same time, there's enough different things going on that there's something always in the works. And I'm hoping that I can find a way to delight all of you. that the things you receive, I want you to see that there's something new and be excited to click it. And I think that's rare. And I know it's a huge goal to aim towards. That's a bigger goal than trying to get all of my posts into a perfect 4 paragraphs. But it's the thing I need to move towards. It's the goal. It's the future. It's the way. It's the direction that I need. And I feel good that I have a place to catch those other things. Every once in a while, I might have a neat piece of gear. I have a place to do that. I want to talk about how I'm using an app. Maybe I've, like right now, I'm working on this content process. I'm going to do that for a couple months. And if it's working really well, then I want to share it. And I'll have a place to do that. And as I use the analog Zettelkasten and help me write my book on small towns, I can talk about what that process is like when I feel like I need to talk about it. And of course, on top of all of that, I have X, which is a place to, you know, sometimes you just have these little short things you want to say that won't become something else. And that's a place for that to exist too, as well as funnel all of these things once they're made. So that's where we're going. And I know this isn't maybe the type of episode you were expecting, but you needed to hear this because it tells you where we're going. And I hope that you feel the same way. I hope that we're in line the same way that I felt in line with the poll results. So we will talk soon, but probably before we talk again, you'll receive an email for one of the other 3 things that I talked about. So please, if you want more book stuff, go to the Substack. Right now, the Substack is still called creativeisolation.substack.com. So if you go to that, you'll go there. I'm trying to get them to switch it back to readordieslave.substack.com so it makes sense. That's a process. So I'm waiting for the technical support team to help me with that. So I will put a link for creativeisolation.substack below in the podcast player, in the notes, everywhere else, wherever notes can go. Go and subscribe to that so you can get the other stuff. Because, you know, that's what I want. That's why I'm doing it. And if the personal blog stuff sounds interesting to you, go to dispatches.beehive.com, which is beehive is spelled weird, so you're going to need a link for that too, if you're not familiar with it. If you're into EDC stuff, I'll put a link for the EDC YouTube channel. If you are into the analog Zettelkasten and are curious about the analog Zettelkasten, I will put a link to that. And I don't have a link to give you for Digital Disaster because I haven't made any videos for that. But when I do, I'll make sure to say something in one of these other 2 email places that I have, dispatches or Read or Die a Slave, so that you know that it's there if that's interested. But you can also just follow me on X to keep up. That's probably the best. So, housekeeping episode, 40 minutes. My God, please don't hate me.